Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Friday. You guys, listen, it would be reasonable if we decided we just didn't want to do some of the normal stuff. And I've had a couple of times on the show where we have just, not a couple of times, several times where we have just like said something is so impactful, so newsworthy that we're going to put aside everything we had planned. But at the same time, I also feel like there is nothing making us do that right now. And sometimes a sense of normalcy is what we need. And so with that being said, we're going to drive forward with some of our usual stuff that we do every single week. One of which is on Friday afternoons, we get a little JP on sports. So we got two rounds of JP on sports we're going to do, brought to you by the folks at Inspire Advisors. And oh, by the way, the first section is called The Three and Out, top three stories in sports as he sees it, followed thereafter by the two-minute warning with a timer and a buzzer. JP, three and out, go.
Did you forget my sound effect?
Oh, I'm sorry. And he also has one of the best sound effects of all time. It's courtesy of some girls at Auburn. Hit it. You know, it just made us both smile.
I mean, I don't want them to feel like they did a sound effect for nothing.
You know, you're also a 22-year-old guy who has girls shouting your name, so I'd say go for it. All right, what you got?
Well, first, I think it's appropriate to open it off talking about the sports teams that honored Charlie Kirk last night.
Oh, wow.
When the day the shooting happened, the Yankees before the game held a moment of silence in honor of Charlie Kirk. Trump was already going to be at the Yankees game for the 9/11 tribute. He'll be the first president to go to a Yankees game since George Bush went and threw out the first pitch after 9/11 had happened.
Wow.
So he was planning on being there anyways, but it made it even more special for him to be there while they were honoring Charlie Kirk. He also got to meet with some of the players before the game. There's videos of him shaking hands with guys like Aaron Judge and others. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then also last night, the Commanders and Packers game, the NFL held a moment of silence before the game as well. So it's a breath of fresh air a little bit to see sports teams acknowledge this, because I mean, this is the same NFL that rode the coattails of Colin Kaepernick and everything he was doing, and all the sports leagues that were virtue signaling after George Floyd. It's nice to see them take a moment and honor Charlie Kirk and the assassination after that. And there's some people who are saying, oh, well, I thought politics didn't need to be in sports, you guys. It's like, yeah, well, you don't see them forcing teams to have rest in peace Charlie Kirk in their end zones. You're not forcing people to say, have patches or anything like that. This was a moment of silence because it was a groundbreaking chain and,
a national figure
that got shot. So, yeah. Anyways, I did want to just give props to those teams for honoring Charlie Kirk. I thought that was very classy.
That is cool, and I bet we're going to see some more of the weekend through NCAA football and all.
Yes.
All right, that's one. What's two?
Well, that's a perfect segue into college football. We have another weekend of college football in front of us. Alabama will be playing Wisconsin at home. This is a bit of a step up after last week playing Louisiana Monroe. but it's already come out that apparently Wisconsin's starting quarterback will be out for this game.
Oh, wow.
So that's a big storyline going into it. We'll see how much that affects things. Auburn will have their homecoming game this week against South Alabama. Another game that Auburn really should win pretty handily. I'd be pretty shocked if they didn't. But I will say the game of the week this week would be Georgia at Tennessee. This is really the first big game of the year in terms of SEC ball. Georgia and Tennessee, two teams that do not like each other. The Bulldogs will be going into Knoxville. Very, very hard place to play. One of the hardest places to play in the nation. But Kirby, he's got Tennessee's number, so we'll see if he can do it again this weekend. And then one more game that is very interesting. We got USF at Miami. USF is coming off of the massive upset, biggest upset of the year so far, beating Florida at the Swamp. Now they're ranked 18th in the nation, and they'll be going to another in-state rival of Miami, which I bet before the season Miami would have looked at this game as, cupcake, we'll be good. It's at home. We're playing South Florida. Not anymore. South Florida just went and beat Florida at their place. So Miami better be ready to come, coming ready to play against the Bulls this weekend. If South Florida is able to beat Miami, they will start off the season 3-0 with two of their wins against Florida and Miami, both at their place. That would be probably the best record or resume in the nation so far, and it would belong to South Florida. So I think it's going to be close no matter what, but I'd keep that game on your radar.
You got to know the Miami coaching staff has been assessing the videos from the last week's game over and over and over again.
100%. Hey, listen, Alabama struggled with the USF back-to-back years, and we have to play USF again next year, and they're starting to worry me a little bit. They're rising. They got a great young coach who could be one of the big guys coming up. But yeah, keep an eye on that game. If the Bulls can pull off another upset,
that would be amazing.
It would.
All right. Awesome. Wow, but we're already done with two. That was three.
I got a meaty one here. Don't worry about it. I did my podcast on this Out of Right Field with JP on this past Monday. This is a big story, in my opinion. Conor McGregor, who is running for president of Ireland. He had a big setback this week. So the way Ireland's elections work, they've got, I believe it's 291 or something like that. It's well over 200 councils nationwide. And those council members vote individually on their candidate they want on the ballot. And that's how candidates get on the ballot. The certain parties for council members, you know, you have to have at least four individual councils nationwide vote for you to be on the ballot. Or 20 of their like parliament members to vote you, which is a lot harder because they're a lot more partisan. So Conor needed to overcome this hurdle of getting four councils to vote for him to be on the ballot. Well, the ruling party, the prime minister, put out a memorandum to, I believe, 35 of their councils to not approve or vote for any independent candidates, which would be Conor McGregor being an independent candidate. Wow. Talk about election interference, maybe. Yeah. That's not how democracy really works. And the only reason they would do that is because Conor McGregor is starting to gain some traction, is maybe worrying them. And it's the timing is very funny because the weekend before that happened, the Liberal, which is a Irish newspaper, did a poll on their Twitter about who people want to vote for in this upcoming election. It had the two main party candidates and then Conor McGregor as the independent. Conor McGregor won that poll by 60%.
60%?
60%. Now, some people are going to say, well, maybe not all Irish people voted in that poll. You know, it's not as reliable. I get that. But then you think, how many Irish people or non-Irish people follow the Liberal and are going to vote on a poll by an Irish newspaper? I'd say that's not nothing. So I think the ruling party saw that and see Conor as a threat and are trying to get in his way as much as possible. It's still possible for him to get four councils to vote him in, but if the ruling party, which is the majority party in Ireland, is putting out that message, it's going to be a lot harder now. And I think Conor McGregor, his main platform he's running on is the mass migration coming into Ireland.
Yes.
I mean, some of the...
saturating the country.
Yeah. I mean, there's some studies that show at this projection, ethnic Irish citizens will be a minority in Ireland. And can you imagine that being the case? Wow. And that is Conor's platform. He's tired of seeing these newcomers getting prioritized. And the folks like Conor who are angry and are protesting it, they're the ones that get arrested, not the crimes that the migrants that come in commit. And I think that right there, Conor has got, a lot of support behind him. And you can talk all you want about Conor's past controversies or whatever you think about Conor himself. I think his message is what's so scary to folks like the ruling party. And, the Irish president is really ceremonial. They don't have a lot of executive power, but they can be a roadblock and they can give speeches and they can, make things harder. And just Conor simply being in the role of president, even if he can't sign off and unilaterally do stuff, I think just saying that he would be in a just symbolic position as president is silly because people are going to have eyes on him if he's a president. He can bring, attention to issues that the ruling party doesn't want people to pay attention to. So I think this is a big story. Not a lot of people are talking about it, how much Conor is having to overcome to get on the ballot alone in Ireland. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And let me ask you this real quick before we go to the break. So, of course, Conor McGregor, this ties into JP on sports because he's a fighter.
Yes.
Long history, got a great record. Like you said, he's had some controversies. Mm-hmm. But what? And I don't have to say this otherwise. What is he like as an intellectual? Is he... I've never actually paid attention to his ability to discuss the issues, to dialogue about things that are sort of like big or esoteric. How is he on that kind of thing?
He's very smart. If you go look at the videos, he'll do these videos in a suit, in front of the Irish government buildings, and he'll give a speech in a very presidential manner. A, he's very passionate, but two, he's a lot smarter than people probably give him credit for. You know, he may not be as knowledgeable in terms of like a politician on things, but he knows what he cares about. He knows what the people care about, and he's able to articulate it in a very presidential manner. So I think that's why they're scared of him. And we saw how he rose to success in the UFC. That guy is deemed a threat, you know, if he's garnering support. So who knows? Hopefully he can at least get on the ballot.
I will say this. If I had to pick a stereotypical Irishman,
oh yeah,
it's Conor McGregor.
100%.
I mean, I'm not looking for some pudgy parliamentarian who doesn't want an independent to run. I'm looking at the little scrappy guy who looks like in Braveheart he would have been one of the warriors who took on the battlefield. Yeah.
And I'll say this
it's my island.
Yeah. I'll say this one piece before we go to break. You talk about weak men create hard times, strong men. You know.
Yeah.
If you look at the prime minister who is trying to roadblock Conor McGregor, he doesn't even look like he can bench press his own weight. And he's trying to get in the way of a guy who his whole career was fighting elite fighters and beating elite fighters and wants to make his country better. So now the weak man obviously has to get in the way of that. It's amazing.
That's a crazy cool batch of three you just had there on round one of JP on Sports. All right, well, it's JP on Sports. We'll come back and get into round two. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're back for round two of JP on Sports. We call it the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer, 2 minutes on every sports story he can cram in. Go.
So this story went viral. The Carolina Panthers, obviously the NFL team, had their comms director, their football communications coordinator, Charlie Rock, went viral for posting some disgusting things in response to Charlie Kirk's assassination. And here's the good news of the story. He has now been fired from the Carolina Panthers. This has been a trend of a lot of people who have been making posts, you know, laughing about, making light of, you know, Charlie Kirk's death. But this one is another example of these people finding out and fortunately getting fired. But now the question is, you know, how many more Charlie Rocks are there embedded in these sports teams and their social media, you know, comms, you know, sector of the organization? How many of these folks like that are in these, you know, teams like the Panthers that are, you know, virtue signaling or in a position that they can virtue signal with a professional sports team's, you know, accounts, and they're just not stupid like Charlie Rock to post it publicly like that. But I think Charlie getting fired sends a message, you know, to these people. That's not okay, and you're going to get punished for it, and maybe do some self-inventory on yourself if you're in a position to do that.
No doubt.
But I thought that was really, you know, crazy that not only that he made the post like that, but he was in the position that he was in to be the football communications coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, like the comms director, essentially.
Yeah, blew that.
Yeah. And how he was able to rise to the ranks to get into that position. Hopefully we do some vetting on these folks to get to where, you know, they can make posts for professional sports teams.
It's like a professional version of the Darwin Awards. The people who just literally self-immolate for no other reason than they're just too stupid to think otherwise.
Yes, exactly. But I think, you know, the Yankees doing a moment of silence, the Panthers doing a moment, the Packers, maybe the tide's turning.
There it is. That's first one. Next one, reset the clock, go.
We have a major boxing fight this weekend. We got Terrence Crawford going up against Canelo Alvarez. These are the two, I would say, the top two pound-for-pound fighters in the world right now. Terrence Crawford is moving up to 167.5 to fight Canelo at his weight class. So Canelo will have a big weight advantage going into this, as if he's used to fighting around this weight. Like I said, Terrence will be moving up.
Was that middleweight?
Super middleweight. Yeah, super middleweight championship of the world. This is a big fight. It's very rare we see the top boxers in the world actually fight each other when they're near each other's weight classes, because boxing is such a... there's so many hands in the pot in boxing. It's so hard to get big fights done for money dispute or, you know, guys wanting to protect their record. It's very rare we see big time fights of two guys near each other's weight in their prime while they're the top two in the world actually fight, and we can know who's the best of the two. So this is a big fight, you know, in the boxing world. So my prediction, I would say Canelo Alvarez is going to come out on top on this one. Bud Crawford, which is Terrence Crawford's nickname, is a very, very good boxer. He is for sure technically one of the best fighters in the world if we're talking, you know, pure skill at boxing. However, I wonder if the weight is going to be a lot for him to overcome. You know, he's, although he will also be at that weight, I don't know if he's used to fighting at that weight as much as Canelo is, and Canelo packs a punch. My prediction is Canelo Alvarez to win this one, but I do expect this one to go the distance. I don't think anybody's going to knock each other out. I think Crawford is so good defensively. Canelo's going to have a hard time finding him and making contact. But like I said, I think the weight factor and the size factor is going to be a bit of a advantage for Canelo. Too much for Bud Crawford to overcome. So that'll be my prediction.
Okay. What's that on Saturday?
Saturday night. And this is a big one. You know, like I said, this is very rare in boxing.
Yeah, hit it. That's good timing. All right. Reset the clock. You got time for another? Sure you do. Go ahead.
So this is connected to what I just talked about. So this is the first fight that Dana White has ever promoted in boxing. Dana White has come over and promoted this fight, Canelo versus Crawford, and Dana has said he wants to go into the boxing world, and he doesn't just want to be an MMA promoter. He wants to be a boxing promoter, wants to be the CEO of boxing one day, he actually said. But there's been a lot of controversy. Apparently this week, there's been some rumors that Dana White is lobbying to overturn the Muhammad Ali Boxing Reform Act in Congress, which is a law that protects, or is intended to protect, boxers from promoters. It's the key provisions here. They require promoters to disclose compensation to boxers, and they prohibit managers from having a financial interest in a boxer's promotion. There's contractual protections, manager and promoter separation. Like I said, this is Muhammad Ali was in the later years of his life when he helped to get this passed. But apparently, another promoter in the boxing world said Dana's been pushing behind the scenes, apparently, as he's entering the boxing world, to overturn the Muhammad Ali Boxing Reform Act. Dana was pressed on this by a journalist at a press conference, and Dana said, if you want to talk to me about that, you know, schedule an interview with me. This is about the fighters, yada, yada, yada. Kind of deflected a little bit. But that's a little bit interesting. If that's the case, Dana is friends with Trump. Great friends with Trump. He may have a little bit of pull in the political world. So who knows if he'll be successful to lobby to get this overturned. And we haven't really gotten Dana's, side on it, strictly. But that's a little interesting, the timing of that there.
That is very interesting. And so we got time. So let me ask
here
you.
Here comes the music here.
You can go ahead and ask real quickly, is Dana White the reason why we got that big card on the fight?
He's one of he's played a big part in it.
You're talking about how rare it is to get these two kind of fighters together, and yet here is Dana White and
that's
that fight.
True.
I wonder. All right, that's great stuff, man. Good job taking us a moment here. We'll come back. Text lines 833-687-4448. Y'all text it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.